This is Morning Edition. I'm Dana Glover. Cynthia Alvidrez is throwing her hat into another election ring, this time challenging Anthony Williams to become Abilene's next mayor. She previously ran for a spot on Abilene ISD's board in 2018 against longtime board member Danny Wheat. Wheat kept his position. Last year, Alvidrez ran for City Council Place 5, losing to incumbent Kyle McAllister. This time around, Alvidrez has focused her campaign on being a voice for people that get overlooked. Cynthia Alvidrez joins me by phone. Thank you for speaking with me today.
Yes, my pleasure.
So as I mentioned, this is not your first political campaign. What led you to deciding to run for mayor this year?
Well, I want to go back to the fact that I have ran for school board and city council. And I like to compare that to situations that, normal people probably find themselves in when maybe going to like a clothing store or a grocery store where you have an issue and you bring it up to the clerk and you're not coming up with a solution that is beneficial for both parties. That's kind of the approach that I've taken when starting at the school board. I did run against Danny Wheat. That was strategic. He was an incumbent. I knew that the odds were stacked against me, but in running for school board, I was able to secure transportation for children who utilize the free and reduced lunch after school care program that the city has put on for years, which my opponent had put on the chopping block that provided working families the ability to continue to work and give back to the community. So I might have lost that election, but the community won in that they were able to go to work and give back to the community. Again, running against Kyle McAllister, there were some racist remarks that were made via his social media posts, and that wasn't necessarily the number one reason as to why I ran. I actually had conservative Republicans who had noticed my campaign when I ran against Danny Wheat at the school board level, who had approached me, and we began working together. And the goal at that point was to find out what we as taxpayers were on the hook for regarding the hotel that my opponent continues to refuse to release documents so that us taxpayers will know how much money that we're going to be on the hook for. And then, of course, I have thrown my hat in this year because I'm not pleased with his representation. He is very manipulative, very deceitful. He has not followed through on his promises and just basically taken it to the top. I know the odds are stacked against me. They normally are whenever I run. And this will be my last go at it, but my voice will be heard. I do represent a lot of the Abilene population. And again, like you stated earlier, I have been a voice for them for the last 4 years. I will continue to be a voice. And my hopes are that individuals realize that my opponent has done nothing but put us behind as far as our economy, his ability to bring in jobs, his ability to solidify infrastructure. He hasn't been able to do any of those things. Recently, we passed a bond in 2015. We have a TERS that is basically stealing from the poor and giving back to rich business owners. And that's really the only way that he's able to build here in Abilene is by taxing the taxpayers tremendously and borrowing money via bonds. And then, of course, your TERS. And not a lot of people are familiar with what TERS are, but it's basically an area that's deemed condemned because the council and my opponent has failed to represent that area. And so now the only option that they feel exists is to freeze those taxes, steal from those residents that are there in that area, and give tax abatement, public monies for public works that they weren't able to follow through on via their position of council.
In light of those concerns, what are some of the things you hope to accomplish if you're elected?
My main goal is to bring down property taxes, solidify infrastructure, and stop wasteful spending. I have individuals who are on the brink of retirement who are scared that they're not going to be able to keep a home that they paid off all these years because of the way that our property taxes continue to increase. My opponent, the 20 years that he has sat on council, has raised our property taxes almost 30%. We are in deficit almost $1 billion. We still don't have streets. We still don't have infrastructure that is solidified. We have a recreation center, our youngest one, that is condemned. We have a dam over at Fort Phantom that they can't seem to fix with our money. We have street maintenance tax. We're just getting taxed left and right. And so to be able to bring in good paying jobs that my opponent can't do via the DCOA, and some people don't realize, that's our money. The DCOA is funded with our tax dollars that could have gone towards infrastructure. And so bring in good paying jobs that provide individuals a good quality of life in which they're able to then turn around and give back to their community, which will then allow us to bring down our property rates. We have $3 million left over in last year's budget, but yet they still chose to raise our taxes this year. It just doesn't make any sense. So solidify infrastructure, which I'm already doing via my campaign. I fixed millions of dollars worth of streets just in my campaign because I've been able to expose what's going on via social media. Bring down property taxes. They froze property taxes via my recommendation on social media. I was requesting that they decrease it, chose not to do that, which is not things that a conservative Republican would do, which my opponent claims that he is. And then, of course, stop wasteful spending. My opponent has a printing contract with the city in which he has recycled millions upon millions of taxpayer dollars. And so to get a handle on that, get back to the basics, clean up the corruption, and fight for the taxpayer.
This summer, as the Black Lives Matter protests were active around the country and in Abilene, you expressed some criticism for Mayor Anthony Williams' representation of minorities in Abilene and said that you would fight for equality. What are some things that you would do differently?
As far as fighting for equality, I think we have more of an issue in regards to a class war here than we do have a race war. Although we do lack representation on a city council level, as far as doing things differently, I wouldn't allow a council member to make racist remarks in regards to the Hispanic community. I would have utilized my position as the mayor to ask him to resign. I will hold fellow council members accountable who make racist remarks regarding community members. We had an African-American male that was killed by Abilene police officers. There's a lot of questions in regards to that killing. Things like that need to be released to the public so that we know what we're dealing with here locally. My opponent has failed to do that. He has failed to hold his fellow council members accountable that have made racist remarks. He has failed to stand up for African-Americans, giving them some kind of confidence in what our police department is able to do, because he has chosen not to release body cam footage. And again, that information was kept from the public. The public wasn't aware that there's body cam. Our campaign was able to bring that out. Our campaign was also able to find out that there were undercover police officers utilized in that specific situation. To be able to stand up for not only minorities, but for the impoverished, which a lot of minorities here are impoverished. Basically, what's going to have to happen is you're going to have to level out the playing field in regards to not necessarily just representation, but the way in which the monies are dispersed. And that's not happening here.
Earlier this year, you called for the city manager to request the resignation of Police Chief Stan Standridge, and you have said the police force needs better leadership and organization. Standridge had already submitted his resignation for other reasons, and the city recently introduced finalists for the job of chief. This week, they've even announced a new hire. What kinds of changes do you think need to happen in the Abilene Police Department?
For some reason, our leadership here has a very difficult time holding their fellow leaders accountable. Just a little history as to why I requested the immediate resignation of Stan Starich is because of the fact that I do talk with Abilene police officers almost on a daily basis, and they have expressed concerns in regards to his representation and his ability to lead. One particular situation was his resignation due to a intimate relationship with the chaplain. And so that caused a lot of turmoil within the police department for several different reasons. One, because you have police officers who may have been involved in situations like the LeBarion Browler killing, and they may have some PTSD, some depression, some anxiety. So they're confiding in a chaplain who is now in an intimate relationship with the chief of police. And so that's a huge issue when you're talking about individuals who have stepped up and chosen to protect and serve their community. And so when you have a leader who puts himself before the individuals that he is supposed to represent, like Stan Starich, like Anthony Williams, those folks, they don't deserve to be in positions of leadership because their motives don't involve the individuals that they represent. They involve interior motives that benefit them and solely them. What I would like to see in the future is I would like to see leaders who are able to hold their fellow leaders accountable, who put the residents and the individuals that they chose to serve before themselves and are ethical and are honest, are not corrupt.
What are your thoughts about the police chief's creation of a diversity council created in response to racial tensions?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea that you're involving residents, you're involving the individuals who are experiencing that on a daily basis, because that gives you insight that you won't necessarily have whenever dealing with maybe, police officers or fellow leaders. And so I think it's a great idea. I think it's been a long time coming. I'm not saying that Mr. Stanrich isn't a great guy. What I am saying is his ability to lead is no longer benefiting the citizens and the residents of Abilene because he has chosen to put an intimate relationship with the chaplain who is his subordinate and has chosen to fraternize with a subordinate that in turn caused turmoil throughout the entire department. So it's a great idea. It's always a great idea to invite individuals that you represent to give their perspective because then that gives you a totally different perspective and way in which that you could do things that would benefit everyone.
Looking at how leaders engage with the community, how do you think city leadership has handled the response to COVID-19?
I don't feel in the beginning that they did what they could have done. We had a lot of examples that we could have that would have got a hold of it a lot sooner than what happened, what was able to occur. Again, I go back to the corruption. I go back to the lies. I go back to the inability to provide residents with information that they need, similar to the hotel documents that they don't want to release, that my opponent does not want to release, similar to the body cam footage with the Mr. LeBarion Ballard police killing. Same thing happened with COVID-19. They were dishonest in releasing information, which turned around and caused lives, which caused an increase of numbers. At one point, I believe we were fourth in the nation when you referenced the New York Times in regards to our numbers. And so I do not trust what comes out of a city hall as long as my opponent is in there because we have gotten information that is falsified. We had a city engineer whose signatures were forged on public documents and public works that put people's lives at jeopardy. And so I'm not satisfied with the handling of the COVID-19. I don't even want to say that I feel like they did the best they could because when you look at the way that they have handled city business in the past, it has been from an extremely manipulative and deceitful place. Of course, I feel like they could have handled it better. I do feel like we have employees who stepped up and we had medical professionals who stepped up and we're able to work with the leadership that we have in place now. My opponent, I feel like he failed us.
What are your thoughts about the letter that city council sent to the governor requesting more local control to reopen businesses like bars and breweries?
A day late and a dollar short. I mean, we could have done that months and months and months ago. The only city councilman on our council who was opposed to continue to stay closed was Weldon Hurt. Every other council member, to include my opponent, were in favor of keeping Abilene shut down. And so my question now is why now? Why are you wanting to open it up now whenever we have businesses, small owned businesses that will never open their doors again because of your inability to stand up for the community that you chose to represent?
What are some of the things that you might have done differently if you were in the leadership position?
I would have heeded the advice of the CDC and the president in the beginning. I would have not allowed my connections and my ties to the local establishment and other entities that I have a printing contract with. When you look at the video, him and Doug Peters were the ones who wanted to decide at the beginning to do what they ended up doing. And he has a printing contract with the Chamber of Commerce. And so what I would have done differently is I would have adhered to the recommendations of the professionals. I would have gauged what was going on with our local economy and our residents at that time, and then I would have planned accordingly, working with local residents and local professionals. When you look at city government, it's not a cookie cutter approach. What works for one municipality might not work for the other, and so it's not an intelligent decision to take this cookie cutter approach as the governor has and restrict municipalities based on criteria that has been set. You've got to take an individualized, tailored approach to each municipality. So back to your question, it's a day late and a dollar short. He could have been doing that from the beginning. Now it's election time and now he wants to write a letter to the governor. I think everyone knows what that is. He's obviously trying to win back a lot of the small businesses that he lost because of the negligent decisions that he made in the beginning.
And you've mentioned that small businesses have been hit particularly hard by COVID-19 restrictions and closures. What is something that you think the city should be doing to support our local economy?
I think leadership should take, again, I go back to Weldon Hurt. He has stood up for the taxpayer and the small business owner demanding that we reopen. I think that we need to do that. I think we need to go ahead and reopen. You've got to give folks that autonomy to be able to make those decisions. I know that there are some bars. The governor has opened that up, I believe, back to 75%, and they're actually able to get some monies coming in. But we've got to open back up. When you look at what's going on now, you know, we got folks that are getting hit hard by COVID-19 and possibly dying, but you also have other individuals who their mental health is at jeopardy here, and our suicide rates are spiking. And so it's time to go ahead and allow businesses and allow individuals that autonomy to be able to make those decisions on their own. We have come a long way from February. There are things that are put in place, such as masks or social distancing, that individuals who would like to participate in that are able to implement. And for those that don't want to participate in that, I don't feel like it's our place as government to force those individuals to have to do that. You know, I think it was Gandhi that said, imposing your will on someone is an act of violence within itself. And so I think that's why a lot of people are really upset with the way that certain things had happened. I understand in the beginning, you know, you do want to be careful. You do want to make sure that you know what you're dealing with. It was an enemy at that point. I do think that we know a lot more now, and to continue to have cities shut down is not a good idea. It's not a good idea for Abilene. Back to your initial question, we need to go ahead and open up. We have emergency monies that we're able to assist local businesses with, you know, be able to do that, be able to have an open door policy in regards to maybe what regulations or what's in place now that's impeding business owners' ability to thrive and prosper in these times, and actually follow through with that.
Is there anything else that you would like to share with voters as early voting is happening now and we get closer to Election Day?
I would like to encourage voters to go to my Facebook page, take a look at it. There's a lot of research, a lot of time and effort and information that you can find there. Just a couple of things that we have been able to uncover during the campaign is that my opponent has increased property taxes 30%. Our streets, I think everybody knows that our streets are an issue. My opponent said the last 30 years they've been neglected. And I would like for individuals to realize that he has been sitting on council for 20 years. And so he was a part of the reason as to why they were neglected. I would also like them to know that he has cut out small businesses by $329, what one particular printing company, when he was awarded a printing contract. An individual's motive for sitting on council should not be for personal and financial gain. It should be to represent the Abilene citizens, not sit there and accumulate $7 million worth of revenues via a printing company that has a contract with Abilene Christian University. He has a contract with Hendrick Medical Center. He has a contract with the Chamber of Commerce. And these are individuals who benefit from his ability to sit on city council. So those are some things that I would ask voters to take into consideration and to utilize that information as, you know, as your motive as to who you will or will not vote for.
Cynthia, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
Yes, my pleasure. Thank you for allowing this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Cynthia Alvidrez is the candidate challenging incumbent Anthony Williams in the race for mayor of Abilene. For KACU, I'm Dana Glover.